One of the dangers, I think this is what maybe Vicky was alluding to about preachers and this passage, there is a danger whenever you get ready to preach on a familiar passage of Scripture like this, because people may already assume they know what it says and what it means. But I think there's an even added risk here, because obviously this is the beginning of the greatest sermon ever preached, and to try to preach a sermon about this sermon runs the risk of whatever you say about it is going to fall well short of what Jesus actually said. I mean, it's sort of like giving a speech about the Gettysburg Address. It's not going to rise to the level of the actual address. But acknowledging the risk, let me give it a shot. And also mention how my view of these Beatitudes has changed a bit over the years. First of all, I remember when I first encountered, not first, but I remember reading somewhere, I don't know if it was in seminary or soon after I became a pastor, in a commentary that was comparing the Sermon on the Mount to the Ten Commandments. And there are similarities, particularly the mountain part of it. Moses goes up to Mount Sinai, receives the Ten Commandments, and I remember this commentary was saying, and others have said it, this is sort of like the New Testament version of that. Jesus goes up on the mountain, although, to be fair, this is around Galilee, so it's more like a hill. It's not really a mountain. But, and preaches, and sort of tells something that maybe is akin to the Ten Commandments. But this is very different than the Ten Commandments. Particularly because, notice, what Jesus says are not commands. Unlike the Ten Commandments, which say, thou shalt do this or shalt not do this, in the imperative mode, that's not what Jesus says here. Jesus does not say, thou shalt be poor in spirit, or thou shalt be meek. Jesus offers blessings. And these blessings are written in the indicative mode, not the imperative mode. And if you remember anything from, I don't know, whatever, you know, eighth grade grammar when we learned this, the indicative mode, basically, as the word indicates, is about indicating a reality. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. It's not a commandment. It's a blessing for those who are demonstrating those qualities right now. You are blessed. It's also noted that these are, you could also call them performative statements. That is, as Jesus says them, they are becoming true. As he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are the merciful, he is at that moment blessing them. It's akin to an umpire calling balls and strikes. And I think we're within a week or so of pitchers and catchers reporting, so I had to throw that in. These are performative, indicative statements. Blessed are you if you exhibit these qualities. They're not commands. Notice as well how the tense changes in these blessings. You are blessed, but there's something that you will receive later as well. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. There's a blessing being pronounced on these people right here and now, with the promise of a reward yet to come. Partly because these blessings being spoken by Jesus are not going to be rewarded necessarily in this life, because these values that Jesus is espousing here are the opposite of the values of the world, Our world does not lift up the meek and the poor in spirit and the merciful and the peacemakers. Our world lifts up the arrogant and the proud and the warmongers and the strong and the successful. And so in these blessings, Jesus is perhaps reminding us the values of God will bring blessings now, but even greater blessings to come. Blessed are you now. And these blessings are interesting. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus says. Now, it's interesting to note in Luke's version of these Beatitudes, which Luke says are preached on a plain, not on a mountain, interestingly, Luke has Jesus saying at this point, blessed are the poor. Matthew adds the poor in spirit. I think making it more expansive. This is not just about financial poverty. This is about poverty of spirit. And I interpret that as meaning the recognition that we all are poor in spirit compared to where God wants us to be. We all struggle with our doubts and our fears. We all fall short of being empowered by the Spirit in the way that God really wants us, desires us to be. So I see this as an acknowledgement. We all are poor in spirit in that way. Blessed are those who mourn, Jesus says. And this is not just grieving, say, the loss of a loved one. It's part of that. But again, I think Matthew encourages us to think more expansively. Blessed are those who mourn. Those who mourn the way they fall short of what God hopes. The way our world falls so short of what God hopes for us. Blessed are those who mourn and grieve suffering and violence and hatred in our world. You are blessed. Blessed are the meek, the humble, as opposed to the arrogant and the proud in the world. Blessed are those who serve rather than expect to be served. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for things to be made right in the world. Again, having recognized that things are not right in the world yet. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. And whenever I hear that phrase, I think of Kierkegaard, that great philosopher, theologian, who wrote a book called Purity of Heart is to Will One Thing. Purity of heart is not perfection, as it might sound on the surface. Purity of heart is to will one thing. And what is that one thing that we focus on? To follow Christ, to follow God, to be better followers of Christ. And blessed are the peacemakers, those who find peace in their own hearts and work for peace in the world. And I hope maybe you notice this is another change in how I think about these Beatitudes. I used to think about them more individually, you know, almost like a checklist. Okay, well, I'm pretty good at being, you know, sort of meek. I won't worry about the other ones so much, and I'll try to be a peacemaker. No, notice how these are all of one piece. They hold together. They, in fact, build upon each other as you begin to consider them. If you are poor in spirit and recognize how we lack in ourselves, sometimes faith and the spirit, we will tend to be more meek and humble. We will thirst for righteousness, for things to be made right. We will look forward to that. We will be merciful, knowing that we are not all that God wants us to be. We will be pure in heart. We will work for peace. These all tie together, these Beatitudes. So it's not a blessing on different individuals. It's a blessing on a community who lives out all of these, because these are the values of the kingdom of God. And finally, blessed are you who are persecuted. Because if you are trying to live these qualities of the Beatitudes, meekness and merciful and peacemaking, the world will not appreciate it. In fact, the world will often react negatively. Our world, which says, stand on your own 2 feet. Be strong. You know, suck it up. Get to the top, no matter who you have to step on to get there. Be strong. Don't show any weakness. To the world that embodies those values, as I think our modern world does, unfortunately, these values of the Beatitudes will be looked down upon, and in fact, I think will be reacted against often. So if you are trying to live these things, persecution will come. But remember, we are blessed by embodying these qualities here and now, with even more blessings yet to come. Finally, let me note, it is Jesus offering these blessings. Jesus, who himself perhaps best embodied each and every one of these and the entirety of these values. Jesus, who was meek, merciful, peacemaker, hungering for righteousness. We are to be these types of people because that's the type of person Jesus was. So, blessed be us, we who try and strive to better live these values. Amen.